Talking Amazing, the podcast all about deep and joyful learning from the team at BirdBrain Technologies. I'm your host, Sarah Fitzhenry, robot fairy godmother and all-around education enthusiast. BirdBrain is known for its groundbreaking technology for students, but this podcast is all about the grown-ups that guide and inspire them. And the grown-up that I have today came to see us at ISTE in our booth, and I think we just chatted for like 20 minutes until finally I said, okay, you can't leave until you agree to come on Flocking Amazing. I am here with Passion Bradley, the STEM educator and summer bridge coordinator at Oklahoma City Public Schools. Passion, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come and speak with you today.
I'm so excited to learn all about what you do. And I know that the audience is going to right away notice that you're like excitement and energy. You live up to your name. You just have such a good vibe. So I'm really excited to be talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, well, again, my name is Passion Bradley. I have been teaching for 24 years. I know I don't look that old, but I am that old.
You really don't.
Thank you. Thank you. I know I'll be 50 in 2 years, but okay. Anywho, I had the love of teaching, and it's so funny that I'm teaching STEM now. I started as an elementary education teacher, and then I was an instructional coach for elementary school, moved up to the ranks as an instructional coach for middle high school, and then I was academic coordinator, which is a teacher coach for the district level. Just didn't like not being in the classroom. And so after 15 years, actually 16 years of just not being in a real classroom, I went back and did some soul searching, did some nonprofit, and figure out that I am truly missed and miss the classroom. And so there was an opportunity to me to go back and teach middle school of all grades. Yes, I know middle school is that grade people like hate it or love it.
I love
middle school.
Me too.
That is my sweet spot right now. And teaching STEM, I've always had an organized chaos. My husband used to say, yeah, organized chaos. And so I always had three ring circus going on in my room. And so STEM was, it just fits me. Yeah. I have kids and I love tech and technology and just understanding how the brain works and how a computer works. And so when I had the opportunity to go back into the classroom, STEM was it, and it was a great fit. I've been at Southeast Middle School, which is an application school in Oklahoma City Public Schools that is predominantly 98% ESL students. And so under-resourced, but that besides all that, the kids are great and they come in wanting to be with me and understanding STEM later, if you get what I'm understanding. And just the personality going in, you know, speaking to the kids every single day, making those connections, talking. They call me Mama Bear because I talk to everyone. I mean, I have snacks. I have, if you need anything, the only thing I don't have in my classroom is super glue. Isn't that funny? I have everything STEM related. I mean, except for super glue, that's the other thing I don't have. But again, STEM is my absolute hobby, but it became my passion and actually my classroom.
Oh, wow. Now, I can only imagine how difficult it would be to come to school as an English language learner and English as a second language learner. I know they're called different things in different school districts. Correct. And so it sounds like you're providing a space where these students not only feel welcome and seen and loved, but technology, it can be kind of a universal language. Do you find,
really
how do your English language learner students show up to your class?
Oh my God. So again, I'm all about collaboration. I'm all about working together in teams and feeling comfortable in their space and being comfortable. Again, teaching teachers to be great classroom teachers have taught me how to come back into the classroom to be that great teacher, to understand the needs of the students first, and then the subject matter will come later. And so I have a very warming classroom where they can sit, flexible seating, where they can sit anywhere. They can ask me any questions. But as an ESL student, I scaffold a lot of the content down. I teach Project Lead the Way curriculum, if you're familiar with that. It's a rigorous STEM curriculum program for middle school, which is the gateway program. But knowing the students that I have, I break it down where they can get it in bite-sized pieces and then grow. And so we go back, we talk about language acquisition, which is the vocabulary words, and I make them use the vocabulary words. I break it down for them, but I also speak to them in that language. For example, they didn't know what a dial caliper was. Mm-hmm. And so measurements, understanding how to measure in inches. So taking away back in second grade, this is an inch. And this is how, you know, we measure in inches. And then moving them from that ruler to a dial caliper and understanding what we're doing and measuring. And so I make it language friendly in the classroom, but just understanding kids and how they're learning. And so that's how I bring my students involved in the classroom. And then I also use peer teaching. And so if I have a student that really gets it, with a student who does not understand, especially in the Spanish speaking classroom, mm-hmm. do I understand Spanish? Very little. Do I speak Spanish? No, but I understand how they can help each other. If a student knows, then they can teach. And so I had a brand new student who just came to our school, to our country, who spoke Spanish. And one of the students in my classroom, because they understand the love and they feel, you know, I promote family inside my classroom. And so they were like, Ms. Bradley, he doesn't understand. Do you have a Spanish piece, Spanish worksheet? And I was like, no, but how about this? What if you read it to him in Spanish and then we can work together in English? And so by the end of the year, he was speaking more English, but he understood what he had to do. And again, going back to universal language, STEM is universal.
Oh, yeah.
Numbers, long as they get it, the plan around, the problem solving, the critical thinking, I mean, that's universal. We all have to think. We all have common sense, some more than others. But we all use our common sense and problem solving, and they work together as a team, so they're never alone. And so that's been a big thing in my classroom. Yes, I'm not going to sit here and lecture all day long. Let's figure it out. Let's tinker it. Let's play with it and see what's the outcome. You know, that's problems all together. And so even with, it was so funny, even with my special ed students in my classroom, you wouldn't know who's my honor kids to my special ed kid to my ESL because they're all working together. And my special ed kids excel in the hands-on learning quicker than the methodology of what is STEM and the computer science, and they work hand in hand.
Oh, I want to come spend time in your classroom. Oh,
come on and play. Come on and play.
Yeah, playground. That's so fun.
Oh, I know. I have the PE teachers. Any teachers, they have a break. They come in and just sit in my classroom. And I'm like, do y'all want anything? They're like, no, we just come to play. Well, come on. Even the lunchroom ladies who speak half English and the other Spanish, they come in and play with us all the time, too. And I welcome. I mean, that's the classroom. We are all learning, and we're learning adults, and we're learning students. And so I welcome anyone to come on in. My door is always open. Again, we're playing. Why not?
Oh, that's so great. And I, from my limited experience in teaching, some of the groups that you've mentioned, ESL students, special education students, sometimes yeah. during classes where they get to play, they are pulled for additional instruction. Right. And so I know when I taught elementary, sometimes the students that deserved to play the most would go for remedial math or for extra help with reading. And so they'd miss music and computers and gym. And so the fact that they get to be a part of that play and they're leading that play is so powerful.
Yes. And I, like I said, I promote family and unity. I have my oldest child who is, she's 24. She just graduated from college. She was on
congratulations.
IEP. Thank you. She was on an IEP because she had test anxiety and she was an introvert. Mm-hmm. So with knowing that the students that are in my classroom, the quietest ones and the ones who are pulled out for IEPs, they need to have that. They're learning the same thing that the students need, and they need to have that opportunity to learn, you know, in a fun way, instead of always learning, always, you know, in the remediation. When do they get to play? When do they get to show their expertise? And so I've always brought what my kids at home are personally fighting into the classroom to make sure that I am aware of every child and aware of all their accommodations in my classroom.
Yeah, you're a true advocate. And play is the work of the child. Play. Like that is how they grow and learn.
Exactly.
So it's clear that you love to play. So your journey into teaching technology as part of your teaching story, but what about you? How did you fall in love with technology, and how did you make, I mean, we met talking about robots and robotics. Right. So how did you make your way into robotics?
Just by computers. I've always had a knack for computers and loving computers and how they work. Not necessarily what's on the screen and typing, but mm-hmm. what is making it work? What's the background of it? Taking computers apart and figuring out, okay, why is this board the way it is, and what does it do, and how does it work, and how does it come across the screen? And so that input output, the hardware of the computers was my go-to, you know, just trying to figure out what can I do and what can I build, and not really knowing how. I always was handy with tools. My dad, who's a pastor, raised four girls. So one of us had to be techie. One of us had to be able to break down and put things back together. And so it was the putting back together part, to me, was my beginning love of technology. Even to the extent of I do side job, like print t-shirts, the font of it, you know, the writing, the calligraphy, the art side of it, how can we design things and put it on computer, or graphic design, you know, those are my passion for technology. And so it just kind of went for that love of teaching, love of kids, and figuring things out and how it works to teaching robotics. The 3D printing, the microcontrollers. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, 4 years ago, I couldn't even tell you what a micro bit was or a microcontroller was. but I love teaching. You can give me any subject and I can learn it and be able to teach it to the kids so they can understand. And so sometimes I'm like, I don't know, let's figure it out together, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. And so let them explore what their passion is, and having them see me take classes. I was going through an architectural class for one of my, just to have, I don't know, I'm a nerd always, but just for that certification for green architecture. And some of the guys that were in my class, and I teach middle school, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And I had an eighth grade class. And they, while they were working on their assignment, I was working on mine. They were like, what are you doing? I said, I'm building a house. How do you build it? I mean, so they were invested in my project, and they were like, well, can we do this and this? And I'm like, okay, well, let's figure it out together. So it's all that exploration part of it too, just the natural wonder of curiosity is what brought me back to, you know, teaching STEM and just teaching, period. So
it's not always easy to make space for curiosity in the classroom. Teachers have a lot to do, a lot of standards to meet, a lot of, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but a lot of hoops to jump through. And some of those hoops are really important and really valuable, and they're still hoops. And
they're still hoops. Yes.
You have to really, really work hard to make time for that curiosity and that play. And so I'm really impressed the way you talk about how you know that's what your students need. And so you find a way to make that a priority.
Well, it's more of, I do a lot of background knowledge. So starting in spring break, when the year is almost over, while they're testing, I am learning what standard I have to teach and how I'm going to teach it. Mm-hmm. So I spend a lot of my summertime thinking, okay, I have to teach, for example, I teach the NGSS standards. Yes. So engineering and technology standards. So how can I teach the ASC part? You know, they don't know that that's a standard they have to know. They just know that it's asking questions. So how can I make it where they can understand, even though I could, that's a standard I had to check off. Okay. In my head, I have this done, you know? So I did a lot of my background inquiry in the summertime, down my downtime, and understanding what do I actually have to teach, getting down to those essential skills. What do I have to teach? And then there, after that, I create the lesson plans. I reinvent myself every year. What makes it better? What can I have done differently? You know, and I take a lot of my students' input. Well, Ms. Bradley, I don't like it like this, but let's do it like this. Okay. How can we have taught this better? How can we have done this better? Why don't you get up there and teach since you figured this out? And a lot of them do. But I haven't had my kids for 3 years though, too. So the first year they start out. So yes. So we have, again, we're STEM school, a STEM focus. They have to have at least 2 years of STEM before they leave our school. And so me being the only STEM teacher, and our buildings have been open for 5 years, kind of lends itself to me being the only STEM teacher that they've had, which by far has been the best, because by the time you're three, they understand me, we understand each other, and they're working on their own projects and modules, and they're bringing in things. And so it's a great collaboration with their students, I mean, with their peers, as well as me in the classroom. So they're able to move on to the next level. I'm just foundational, but by the time they leave me, they'll be ready for high school.
Be so ready to just blossom and try new things. And like you said, you're building that foundation, but it sounds like it's such a joyful, exciting foundation that they're going to go looking for more classes that were like yours.
Right. Right. And I tell them, okay, when you go to high school, because we feed into a Southeast, okay, we're Southeast Middle. We feed into a Southeast High School, which is also application. And I'm like, okay, you need to find this teacher. This is if you're into computers, if you're at aerodynamics, you're going to go here if you want to become a pilot. So I try to help them in those areas and figure out, okay, look, this is what you need to do. Just like I got my own kids, find your love, because then when you become the career person you are, you're loving your job, not dragging into a workplace because you don't like it. So find your passion.
Mm-hmm. You know, they say don't take advice from someone if they are not where you want to go, if they're at and from someone who I think you said this is, you've taught for 24 years.
Yes.
And you're still reinventing every year. You still have this passion when you talk about it. You still love it this much. Like, listen to career advice from that person who's in year 24 and who loves it as much as they did in year one.
Yes. I mean, and I grow from year one. I mean, oh my God. It's just kids, being around kids. I've been around kids since the age of 16. So I've worked in schools and daycares and different centers. And I, like I said, I go back to the classroom. I'm just loving that curiosity, that inquiry, and just wanting to know why the world works the way it works. And so. Oh,
beautiful.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about a challenging moment and a rewarding moment from your classroom?
Challenging moment. Oh my God. Getting a particular child to not wanting to do anything in the classroom. That is my biggest challenge. How can I motivate the child who doesn't want to do anything in class but sit? Yes, I'm an elective class. I'm a core teacher. However, I do treat my class like it's a core class. We do a little bit of English. We do a little bit of ELA, a little bit of math. But that's my biggest challenge. I cannot, for the life of me, understand why you're not doing anything in class. My class is fun. You know, I made it fun, and why? They just sit there, and I don't know. That's my biggest pet peeve, is just sitting there and not doing anything. You know, I've made it where you're successful in anything that you choose, but sitting here in my classroom, no. I don't, that's my biggest challenge. But my rewarding is I had a child who just didn't click in the classroom with his classmates. Couldn't find something for him to latch on except for the sparrows. Are you familiar with the sparrow? Oh, actually the microbits that we have in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And so I knew he loved cars, and I knew he loved building cars, the lights that goes on the cars, the whole cosmetic of, you know, those low riders with all the gidgets.
Yes.
And gadgets. Well, I figured out how to get him motivated, and then he just soared after that. I gave him a story, and I'm like, you know the lights that comes on in the cars that your brother is making with, like, the different fluorescent colors and the changing of the colors? I said, what you're building now and what you're coding now is how they get on in the cars. And he looked at me, and so right then and there, he created code. He had his lights blinking, had words going across. I mean, he was just fully engaged. And at the end of his project, he had to create a monster with the micro bit. And he had it flashing, and he had the names going across and his cars. And so getting that aha moment for that kid, it just made, that was my biggest excitement for him, just so that he got it. You know, he made that connection between real life and what he's doing in class.
Oh, yeah.
Just like I said, it's just the connections. Every success that I have in my class is just the connections that I can make with them, or they can see it themselves.
And that's what he'll remember. You know, he might not remember exactly how to program the micro bit. He might not remember that the project involved a monster, but he'll remember that he had a teacher that saw his interest and that connected it. He'll remember that feeling of like, oh my gosh, look what I did. And it's something that I love. And, you know, that sticks with you.
Yes. Yes.
What advice would you give to a teacher that was looking to get started with technology or with creative robotics?
I would say find your why. Why do you want that? Because that's going to come across to the students. Find what part of, because when I say STEM and robotics and electronics, it's a vague subject. You got to find what is your lane. Where do you want to focus? If you want to focus on coding, are you focusing on building? Are you focused on robotics? The part, I know it's a combination of all, but what is your focus and why? And then learn about it. The more you know about your subject area, it's easy to be able to come across to the students and teach it to the students, because you're going to have questions that they may or may not know. And then two, be comfortable enough to say, hey, I don't know. Let's figure it out together. Because then they see you as a real person, and then figuring it out together, you both have that aha moment at the end. So then when another student comes across and have that same issue, you know, as a teacher, that you know the answer and how to help, or that student, you can have that student go back and teach. But my biggest thing is being vulnerable to the students, being human. If you don't know it, don't fake it till you make it. Just say, hey, I don't know, and let's figure it out together.
That goes a long, long way, I think.
Yes. Yes, it does. It does. I mean, and I think that's what the students love about being in the classroom, because they're okay to not know. And they're okay to fail, because together we're going to make it, you know, we're going to make the success out of it. And we're going to do this together. If not, if I don't know, I know someone who can help us, you know, and partner them with that person. So that's probably why a lot of them come to my classroom, even with students that I don't have in my classroom, will come and ask me questions, because I'm like, hey, I don't know, but let's figure this out together. You know, that problem solving always is my go-to.
It seems like being a kid right now, it is a scary place to make mistakes and to not know that maybe the expectations on kids to do it right and to know all the answers is higher, at least than it was when I was a kid.
Oh my God, it is. I couldn't be a kid anymore in these classrooms. I mean, there, you're talking about teachers having to know so much and jump through the hoops. The kids, I feel like a lot of our curriculum is going lower and is rigorous, more so than they have to know all these things by the time of 12th grade, whereas we only had to know it, you know, by 8th grade. It was just those things that are put on the students, the stress level of getting assignments completed and everything they have to do. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Makes me glad to be an old person who's out of school.
Exactly. I can guide you, but oh Lord, thank God I don't have to finish that myself. But I mean, yes. Yes. It's the guiding part of it I like. So.
All right. So I could answer this question, but I want to hear what you say. This is my favorite question. Okay. Passion, what makes you a flocking amazing educator?
Oh my gosh, because the love of kids and the love of play and their curiosity, that is what makes me so flocking amazing. And just my love for teaching and technology all the way around. So.
Oh, and then in middle school, sometimes people say, oh, by the time they're in middle school, they don't want to play anymore. They've lost their curiosity. Do you find that to be true?
No, it's so funny. When I explain people my job and what I do, I'm like, I teach in middle school. They're like, what? I'm like, you know, they are big bodies, but they're still kids. They love you being corny. I do a corny joke every single day in the classroom, and they may like it. I mean, they may hate it at the beginning. At the end, they're coming up with their own corny jokes and telling me, you know, it's funny, because it's like, they want that play. They don't want to be adults all the time. And it's so funny that when I was in middle school, let me go back to the question. When I was in middle school, I hated middle school. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember any of my teachers' names that I was in high school or middle school with. And coming back around, I made a point to say, we're going to have fun. I want them to remember my name. I want them to be able to say, hey, we did this in middle school. And so that is what made me, well, go back, but made my classroom more of a fun classroom, and for them to identify that they are big bodies, small kids mentality. And it's playing. We like to play. We like talk. So why not give it back to them? Why not have them play? Let them be kids as long as possible. There will be my dad used to say about going into work, why are you rushing to be an adult? You're going to be an adult for the rest of your life. And so with that mentality in the classroom, why are we pushing these kids to be older than they are? They're still babies. They're still learning. They need to play. They understand that mentality. That's why we have adult gaming places for us to, you know, release stress. We like to play as an adult. Why would we not allow the kids to play?
Yes. And as someone who plays every day for work, I can tell you it makes my life a lot more fun.
It does. It really does. So yeah.
Oh, Passion, thank you so much for talking to me today. You're just a ray of sunshine. Is there anything that you want our listeners to know before we say goodbye?
Don't be afraid of the technology. There will be your friend versus your foe. So yes. Don't be afraid to play.
Play every day. Play every day. Oh, and think of Passion while you do it. Oh, thank you so much for coming, Passion. This is just so fun.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for joining us for Flocking Amazing, the podcast for quick, bite-sized conversations with real teachers sharing their real expertise and providing real inspiration to us all. We'll have a new teacher conversation dropping soon, so don't flocking miss it.